And our guest psychic, Angela Moore, will be back with her in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with more. Okay, welcome back with Angela Moore. Angela, before we get into some more of this, the predictions you've made in the past, are there any that haven't come true yet? Because, you know, we haven't reached that point. I want to try to record these. I love it when psychics come on and we just write them down and see what happens.
Well, I think most of the ones I've had have, in fact, already manifested. I'm trying to think before you were coming on, you know, not to think, but trying to see what I could come up with. I'd like to come up with something more specific.
Sure.
But can we maybe chat about a few things I've already done? Let's see if anything hits me. I'll tell you why. Whenever you try, now if I'm like talking to somebody and I'm focusing on this particular person, I can find a way to do that. But when it comes to stuff like this, I find it better if I distract myself and talk about something else, and then it kind of hits. Well, wait a minute. I'm starting to get something now. Hold on. Okay, I do feel, just never mind, just disregard that entire sentence. I feel like there is going to be, first of all, I feel like there's going to be some people, more people, I hate to say this because dying, I don't want to say dying, but not just people in general, but people that have had traditional roles as our spiritual leader dying, okay, maybe more than one, or retiring or stepping back. It feels like there's going to be maybe a change of guard, okay, you might say, where there's going to be a lot of people that have been traditional, okay, that are going to be maybe done. And so it's going to usher in, I think, a whole new generation and a new way of thought. And I think, though, that I can feel something already happening now that's going to maybe be, it's like I feel the door closing, you might say. So I'm thinking there's going to be some spiritual leaders that are going to be maybe departing this life, okay? I feel the other day, I felt somebody plotting an assassination attempt on a political woman, a political leader, a certain woman, okay? And I hope it doesn't happen, because that's very bad, but I felt the plot, and I'm not taking it back. You know, I'm certain I could feel it. And so I hope that don't happen. Are you still there?
Yeah.
You got really quiet. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm just listening. There are moments I even keep my mouth quiet, Angela.
All righty. And let's see what else. I was feeling something else there. I feel like, oh, here's something I've been predicting, okay, and this is going to continue. I feel like animals are going to be acting out more. And I'm talking, you know, before we went to break, we were talking about Florida, for example. There's other things, but how the earth energy is changing, okay? And as this earth energy pulls away, I told you how I felt like the people were becoming ungrounded.
Right.
Well, I also felt the animals were becoming ungrounded. And I predicted a while back, and this is one that's still, I see still happening and increasing, okay? I felt that there would be more animals, first of all, discovered, and that has happened. But I also felt that there would be animals maybe like losing their natural fear of us, but not just that. I mean, they're going to be just acting out of character. I mean,
could you
doing things they're not supposed to be doing?
Well, what about that stingray that, you know,
there you go.
Stabbed Steve Irwin?
Yep, there you go. Stuff like that, just things like that, or you know, more shark attacks in general, or you know, again, animals that you just don't expect this. And I think it's just going to be more so. And every day, you know, when I'm checking online, I'm going to the news and stuff. Not every day, but very often, I'm seeing it. It's like, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. So I think there are going to definitely be more earth changes. Now, I've been predicting earthquake that would feel in this area where I am, out here in North Carolina area, and I didn't know if it'd be on this fault that runs through here or another fault that's affecting, or maybe one out in the seaboard, because I felt ocean. Well, then, you know, we just had that down there in Mexico, and it was felt as far away, not, you know, barely, but was felt as far away as up in here. So I'm feeling that was part of what I was getting, but I don't feel finished with it. So I'm thinking there's going to be more earth changes that you may be seeing out here on the East Coast, okay? And hopefully it won't be too traumatic. Now, down the road, you know, we all know it's going to happen. It's going to be traumatic, and it is going to be big, okay? Just like it's going to be a different planet. I even feel, now, here's a little out on the bizarre side.
All right.
I feel like there may even be lost civilizations out there under the ice. I mean, you know, frozen over and whatnot.
Oh, you mean like cities?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, hey, I'm just going to go out there and say it. I believe that there's something out there possible. I'm thinking Antarctic. I'm wondering, let me put it that way, if there's not something out there that at one time flourished and then the earth changed, maybe tilted in such a way that things kind of froze over, and then maybe life sprang up and evolved again. You know, I wonder, I'll tell you something else I wonder. Now, this is just out there on the limb, okay? But while we're talking, you know, those giant things that are out in the desert that have been drawn, you know, and you can only see them from space, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, those are the lines in Peru.
Yeah, here's a little thought, you know, that hit me one day. I wonder.
They call them the Nazca Lines.
Yeah, thank you. I'm wondering, okay, wouldn't it be interesting if the people that created those, okay, are not even born yet, that perhaps they're a message that a future generation creates to leave that will make sense to the, maybe the preceding generation. In other words, it's a message in time. And perhaps, you know, it doesn't make sense for all these eons. Maybe it's like civilization goes forward and then it gets kicked back. And then we have to do it all again. And maybe this is like a message that when we get to a certain place, we won't do the same thing we always did before. You know, this is just a thought. You know, I'm not saying this is what happened, but I wonder sometimes about that. I want to tell you about this time thing too, George, if you don't mind.
No, that's okay. I want to talk with you about crop circles then, because whether you think their message is from the future, but go ahead.
That's good. But anyway, no, I haven't thought about that from crop circles, but it's like this too. I'm thinking like this. Now think of time again, all right? Now think of time in your mind. Imagine time a million years ago, okay? And when you do that, you'll imagine yourself going back, far, far, far away, okay? But I find that if I can think of the past like that, I could also go ahead, just barely ahead, and there's that same point in time. It's like there's a shortcut to the past, and it's just straight ahead. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm, sure do.
I don't know. I just thought I'd share that with you for no apparent reason. But this thing that I'm talking about, I think these are things that are going to be new discoveries. You mark my words. I think we're on the brink of a new expansion of our mind. I think that there is going to come a time when we perhaps do just literally step out of ourselves and travel in time and travel out there. I think that we can expect, again, some more, you know, technological breakthroughs and all. But, again, I think there's going to be more of a spiritual breakthrough, and that's going to more likely happen with this new generation that's coming up. Okay?
Have you ever heard of a guy by the name of John Titor, T-I-T-O-R?
I don't believe I have.
All right. He is someone who years ago apparently posted on various chat rooms and Internet sites, and he claims to be a time traveler from the year 2036. And he's gone now. Nobody knows where he is, except he does have, his family has, an attorney that I've interviewed on the program. He is baffled, has not met the family, but he is in contact with them, and he says that he's on retainer. It's a bizarre story. But this guy would post, he's got a website that's run by an individual who put together all the information, and it's just strange because some of his predictions of the future have come true. Others were not there yet. He claims there's going to be a civil war here in the United States and some other things like that. But his name is John Titor, T-I-T-O-R, and he claims to have been a time traveler from the future. Very strange.
I think that's very interesting. And as far as his prediction about the Civil War here, I'm surprised it hadn't happened yet. But I think if things continue to deteriorate the way they are, I think that is a strong, I think it's an absolute probability. I'm going to tell you the truth. It wouldn't surprise me if the whole world didn't go back as it was in the Middle Ages, like kingdoms, just set up whatever a person could, you know, grab and control, that's your place.
Well, and if we get massive earth changes to boot, it could happen even quicker.
See, and I think it's how it's going to be. I'll be honest with you. Now, don't get excited out there, because I think it could be, you know, a long, 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 long time yet. Might be tomorrow. You know, who knows? But I think it's going to be like this, slow, 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 and then all of a sudden, bam, there it is. I think it'll be a slow build, but then when things do happen, I think it happens all at once. And I've been feeling more volcanic activity, too. And since I've been feeling that I've noticed that has been increasing as well. So just so you know, there's another thing with the earth change I'm feeling. Now, I do feel a while back. I'll tell you some predictions I've made in the past. And like I said, when I talk about this, it might trigger some more, all right?
Okay.
But, and this is on tape, or I wouldn't tell it, all right? Because, you know, I'm thinking people say, oh, yeah, sure, sure. But I actually forgot it, but somebody actually brought it back to me. I was doing this group thing, because that's what I do sometimes. I go and, you know, speak to groups and do, you know, readings around the bench up there. And I got that in the zone feeling, and I told them, this was before the first elections when they had all that trauma. And I said, and I don't mean to be offensive, this is just what came out of my mouth, okay? But it says, I said, an imposter will take over the White House, and that there will be a giant explosion in the Northeast, and it will reverberate throughout the land, and a man with a white turban will be behind it all. And I think I must have been referring to, you know, the election, the way it went about and everything, all that controversy. I'm assuming that. But I also feel like maybe it's possible that some political leaders are walk-ins, or maybe some political leaders may be, I don't know, maybe I better not go there, but maybe some sort of hybrid or something that is maybe hell-bent on rewriting the planet.
David Icke believes that, too.
Well, you know, I'm saying, you know, you start feeling these vibrations, and I personally wonder sometimes if we're all not some sort of hybrid. You know, the Neanderthal man was actually not, we used to think we descended from that, right? But now we find that it was actually two species of humans competing. And sometimes I wonder if the hybrids, you know, maybe us, you know, are the ones that were able to win out, but maybe there's other.
Well, maybe they genetically altered the Neanderthal.
Then. Yeah, maybe they did. You know, it's, I can't believe I'm actually saying this stuff out loud. You know, it's like people will say stuff in the dark that they would never say.
Just to a few people, Angela.
That just
don't
me and
worry.
You. Just
yeah,
me
there's
and
not
you.
A lot of people. I mean, do you believe we've been visited by extraterrestrials?
Oh Lord, yes.
Do you feel that psychically, or you're just, this is just your opinion?
No, well, everything's just my opinion, I guess. It. And I mean, you know, I don't have a piece of their spacecraft or anything here, but, you know, I just know. I don't feel like I'm wrong. And, you know, I'll tell you what happened. All righty, I'm doing a session with somebody, and it was this little girl from the military.
And
right?
Tell me about these sessions, too. Set the stage for us on these things.
Well, here's how it is. People want a personal session. They come in here, and I live out, like I said, out in rural North Carolina. You know, I used to have a little radio show myself. It's called the Hillbilly Psychic. People would call
the
in.
The Hillbilly Psychic.
Yeah, you know, hey, you know, I am what I am.
My
know?
Southern audience is just going through the roof tonight because of you, right?
They're probably going to say, what do you mean? But, you know, I take that as a compliment, and that's quite all right. But anyway, that's basically, you know, I am what I am, right? And so anyway, they come out here to the house, and once you fight your way through the Chihuahua gauntlet.
Yeah, back off your phone just a little bit, too.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, you were popping a little bit.
All righty. You just, once you get through the Chihuahua gauntlet, you come on in, I'll set you down, and then we just sit and chat. And I like to keep it real casual. I tell everybody, I done gave up all pretense of any form of professionalism, you know. So we'll just sit and chat, and as we chat, I'll start picking up stuff, and I tell everything I feel, and you can ask me stuff and whatnot. And that's basically how it works. And when I do group things, it's the same thing. I just talk to you. Maybe sometimes people have me speak on a subject or whatever. And, you know, and sometimes I just go and I just start, you know, bouncing around and just seeing what I pick up. You know, that's the way it goes. But anyway, I was doing this session with this girl, and she's military, and she lived in D.C. And I'm going in her energy like I do. And again, it's just a natural thing, you know. It's not like some hokey-pokey witchcraft kind of thing, you know. So I'm going in her energy, and then I go through her energy, and I go through this military man, and it was an older man. And it was, I'm telling you, it was like I'm not doing this on purpose. I was actually feeling like I'm being sucked through, okay. So then I go to this military man, older man, and I go through him, and he seemed to be kind of like, I don't know, distracted perhaps, maybe that's why I went through him, and then went through him, and I hit this alien, the traditional what you see on the TV kind of thing, right? It was that kind of being, and I hit it with my thoughts, and I'm telling you, he turned around and it hit me back. It's like he knew. He felt me. He knew. And it's like it gave me such a shock, and it was just wild. Now, like I said, if I tell you this stuff, I'm thinking, well, you know, this is just a thought, this and that. But see, I've had so many things happen that have been verified, you know, that have been proven over and over and over and over. So, you know, why would I disbelieve this? You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm not, it's not like I'm just, you know, pulling out things out of my rear. It's like these are things that come back to be verified. Now, I can't verify that, but it's just the spirits I'm sharing. But I'll tell you what else happened now. I'm laying in my bed, and my husband, oh, yeah, let me just go back a little bit further. Let me tell you this. We're over there in this little house we used to live in, and I felt like I needed to get up and get something out of the living room, my pocketbook. So I went in there to get it, and I'm coming back, and just when I stepped through the door, just bear with me, and I'll tell you this crazy part right here.
All right, sure.
Felt like I sucked up to the ceiling. And I'm telling you, now, you're talking about being terrified. I'm terrified, right?
You're talking about like an out-of-body experience?
Well, no, just let me tell you. So anyway, I feel like I'm sucked up there to the ceiling. And I mean, it's real, okay? It's real. And I cannot breathe. It's horrifying. It's beyond words. My clothes felt real tight, almost like they were pulling, you know, up on me, like I'm being lifted perhaps by my clothes. Okay, the next thing, I wake up, and I'm in bed. And so naturally, I think it's a dream. It had to be a dream, but it was so real. And I am literally shaking. The thing is, my husband, he woke up at the same time, and he woke up with a big gasp. And he says he was dreaming a very vivid dream as well, that he was in a van going around a curve of the mountain, and he fell out of the van. And he felt like he was being suspended, like pulled up to the top of the van, okay, in his dream, and was being held there, sucked up against the top of the van. I'm being sucked up to the top of the living room. I, honest to my soul, wonder if it was truly a dream or if it was an actual experience that I had to justify as a dream. And then in hindsight, I have to wonder, what was that about, you know? Was that? And then one more thing happened. And there's others, but I'm not going to tell you all this stuff because, you know, I'll take all night. But it's in my book, you know. Here's the thing. I wake up one night, and I thought I heard my phone. Like I'd rolled over on my phone. You know how fax machine sounds when you call it?
Yeah, by accident? It's got that different tone to it. Yeah.
And I'm hearing all that stuff going on, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, it's the phone. So I pick it up. I'm real sleepy, you know, and I listen, and it's not the phone. And then I kind of look, and standing right beside the bed, in the shadow, there are two beings, again, like the kind you see on the TV kind of thing. One was about a foot taller than the other one. One had some sort of pouch and a strap around his arm. And I see him, did not feel afraid, didn't feel anything, just felt like, you know, like it was normal to see it. And it was like I thought, oh, so that's what they sound like. And that was it. Just went back to sleep. So, you know, those are things that make me feel it. And when I feel their energy, because I can sometimes tap into them now, and when I do, I feel like they are they're very, very intensely curious about us. And some of them, I feel like we have emotions, and they don't get that. I think it's like beyond comprehension, and I think it makes them extraordinarily curious as to why we are the way we are. And I do feel some sort of kinsmanship. I can't talk. It's too late. I'm losing my voice. But kindred spirit with
Push him. Yourself. Push yourself.
You know, it's there's something there. I just, anyway, that's my opinion.
What's the story about the guy who got lost in China?
The story about, did I tell you that?
No.
Okay. You're talking about my experience, or is this something I'm supposed to know about?
I hope it's something. I don't know. You're the psychic.
Okay.
You tell me.
Okay, because I'm thinking, was there something on the news? Did I miss something?
No. This is the one that you know about.
Well, okay. It was just, again, this is just some nice, very nice people, and they called me, some of my Chinese people, and told me that there was someone missing, and they were really, really worried because he had some mental problems and all this, and I was able to find him because, you know, if you can think them, you're there, all right?
But this is a great distance, right?
It don't make no difference. There, time, space, it is an illusion, all right? If you can think it, you're there. I mean, you know, where are you right now? Los Angeles?
Today I'm in Los Angeles.
Okay, well, see, there you are. I'm out here in North Carolina, but here we are in the same space at the same time, you see? So anyway, if I can think it, there you are. So I found his energy, and I told him what I was picking up around him, and that made sense to them. They were able to find him. And, you know, like I said, sometimes you can find them pretty easy, and sometimes you can't. Everybody's different. Now, I'll tell you about this other little thing that happened, if you want me to.
We'll do that after the break, okay?
All righty.
And then we'll talk about pets as well.
All right.
Because I want you to help a lot of people. And talking about being lost in China, of course, Art Bell's in China, I'm told, and I'm not sure he's going to make it back this weekend. So in an emergency and for standby, we might have Ian do the Saturday night show, and I will do the Sunday night show in case Mr. Bell does not appear wherever he may be. Okay, next hour, we'll open up the phone lines. If you have a psychic question for Angela, or if you want to share some of those stories about what has happened to so many people, apparently, they're healing themselves from some incredible injuries. And we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
And welcome back to Coast. Angela Moore is our guest. Angela, tell me a little bit about soulmates.
Good question. You know, people are coming to me a whole lot. You were asking them before about the sessions I do and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I think the most of the time, it's really to confirm what people already know or to help them with insight into what is going on with them. And it's really mostly mundane. But a lot of times people, when they come, this is a much very often a thing they want to know about. And I have to explain to people that, yes, you know, you do have a soulmate. I think we have many soulmates, however. And I think the definition of a soulmate is someone that you have an agreement with, okay, that you might fulfill a certain task with or walk a certain path with for your soul's purpose. And so sometimes people come, they're all in love and whatnot, and they think, oh, I've met my perfect soulmate. Well, maybe so, but maybe it's, you know, one of many, and their purpose is to maybe have this experience with you right now.
I was going to say, what happens to somebody who believes that they do have a soulmate? Then they end up getting divorced or they break up. I mean, is that person indeed the soulmate? Or
Sure they were.
Really?
Just because it has a certain outcome doesn't have any bearing on the fact that this person may have been meant to be part of your experience to further your soul's evolution.
How do you know that that person is indeed your soulmate?
I think sometimes you're not going to know. You know, I think sometimes people we believe are because maybe we have infatuation or something like that, and it's really intense. Maybe it turns out they aren't, but then other people that maybe have been the most annoying person in your life, maybe they are, because maybe that is the challenge that you agreed to have with that person. But I think that, you know, sometimes, you know, you get a knowing, too. And it's not the infatuation early stage. It's, I think, a knowing that maybe comes with time. And not all soulmates are romantic. You know, you can have agreements with people that have nothing to do with you, even in a personal way. For example, you might have an agreement with someone that they might come and maybe be a robber, and you're going to be the victim. And you think, well, how is that a soulmate? Well, maybe it's an agreement. You said, you know what, this lifetime I will allow myself to be put in a victim situation, and you will try to be challenged by making this choice or that choice, and I will agree to put myself in harm's way so that you can have this experience, perhaps, of doing this or overcoming this task. I mean, that's just an example. I don't think we should confine it to say, well, it just means you're having this really intense love affair that lasts forever. I do think a twin soul, okay, that's a soulmate you were created with at the beginning of time, can have romantic relationship with you. And I think maybe it is time for twin souls to be coming back together, too. I think maybe that this point in time, again, I'm predicting political chaos and everything else, you know, but I think maybe it's something we're here to experience at this time. And maybe it's all part of a soul agreement we have, maybe as a group, you know, to experience these things.
Well, at the same time, if you have this experience with someone that you believe might be a soulmate, mm-hmm. What about someone who's the totally opposite that? You know, we've all been in a room where we've met someone that I call an energy sapper. People call them energy vampires, psychic vampires. What about those kinds of people?
Well, you know, obviously, again, I think that this could be even a form of a soulmate where maybe your job is to learn how to protect yourself, to set boundaries or to draw lines with people. And perhaps some of these energy vampires, maybe their job is to learn how to have some limits placed on so they can draw their strength from within. But, you know, people will do what they can do. If they can get by with things, if that something works, you keep doing it. And, you know, maybe that's part of their challenge. So I think in the end, it all works together as some plan. I just don't think we always get what the plan is while we're actually having the experience of it.
I got to tell you, you're refreshing to talk to. I mean, you're the real deal.
Thank you.
The one more thing on energy zappers, and let's talk about pets. A lot of times, though, Angela, they don't know they're doing this.
Mm-mm.
They're nice people, actually, some mm-hmm. of them, and they just have an incredible gift to sap your energy.
They're a vacuum.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of victims are like that, too.
How does somebody who might be one, eventually, let's say they're told it, how do they fix themselves? Can they?
I think you can. I think it would maybe taking this consciousness now and saying, okay, I'm putting myself in a bubble. Perhaps imagine a bubble around them. So rather than the creating a vacuum that goes out and zaps into the people, perhaps it stays within that bubble. Maybe they can practice grounding themselves. Maybe they can start being more aware of the way the energy fields, and literally imagine pulling it back in. Imagine like there's tentacles or something all around you, and that's part of your energy field, and perhaps those tentacles are actually going out and literally just, you know, tapping into someone else. Perhaps you can use imagery to help pull those back, you know, and just kind of imagine you're pulling in. Imagination is a tool. It's a bridge, I think, from one realm, one reality to another, actually.
Matt from Houston, Texas, wants to know what you feel about life after death and actually what happens to people who commit suicide. Oh, my gosh.
I see a lot of suicides. I mean, after they've committed suicide, I actually have a lot of, you know, I'm just getting weirder and weirder as time goes on. But, you know, I do. And it's like this. Some people, I think everyone's unique, okay? I don't believe that there's this blanket thing that says, okay, black, white. I think everybody is special and unique and whatever. But in my experience, okay, and I can only share with you my experience, okay? You have to have your own experience to draw your own judgment. But in my experience, that often they don't finish the work they came here to do. It's like they have a lot of pain or whatever, and they just can't cope with it or whatever, and they go on out. But they find themselves very often in a realm where they're still having to complete whatever task they came here to complete. Now, sometimes, you know, you find that they're having a hard time kind of, you know, reconcile with what's happened. And sometimes I think, and this is maybe a dangerous thing to say, but maybe they actually can do a better job. You know, I'm not their judge, you know, and I certainly don't recommend anybody do that, because you're not going to get out of anything. You're just going to end up doing it in a different way.
Tell me a little bit about the reading a pet. How do you do this?
Well, it's the same way you'd read a human being. You know, you just kind of tap into it, and then you feel what they feel, and then you translate those feelings into words that make sense to you. Now, sometimes you might pick up actual words, but usually you're picking up an energy, a thought. I'll tell you an example. For example, it was kind of funny. I was going to these people's house, and I started feeling their cats. I wasn't meaning to, but I did. And I told them this one cat is very irate with the other cat, and it's just getting more and more upset. It's almost like the one cat is just hurling insults and epithets at the other one. And they really didn't believe me, I don't think, because their cats go along. But I'm telling you, I honestly could not have staged this better. This one cat gets up, walks across the room, and just literally slapped the crap out of the other one. And it was just so funny, because I was correct in that, but it was just like, you know, evidently they're having this little battle of minds, and you know, nobody's even aware of it. But you just kind of translate that energy, and you don't try too hard. Again, I think that's the thing. Everybody makes it hard. You just kind of absorb it. You know, I have an ABC method. If you want me, it's really brief. I can share it with you.
Okay, yeah.
People.
And what is it?
The ABC. I like to make things simple, all right? If you want to increase your own psychic ability, the ABCs are A for attention. You pay attention. You know, you get hunches all the time. Now, George, I know you have been thinking of somebody, and then they call you, or you run into them, or you hear about them, or something like that. You know, we all have. So when you have these things happen, you pay attention. You notice how it feels, and you might even say to yourself, you know, I knew I could do this, you know? And then B, belief. If you don't believe you can do it, you're going to thwart yourself. Even if you're doing it, you're not going to see it. So you got to have belief. And a way to enhance the belief is you do affirmations. You know, you kind of balance your energy, all the negativities in your energy. You kind of balance them out by saying, you know, I can do anything. Anything is possible. I'm the greatest psychic ever. Stuff like that. You know, and again, that helps balance out the part of you that says, no, can't be. And then finally, it's creativity. The more creative you are, the more you're going to be in tune with your psychic self. And that's basically what it comes down to. And you don't make it hard. You don't have to do some big ritual. You don't have to do anything except make a decision. I wish to be more intuitive. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to believe in myself. And I'm going to do some creative stuff. I might go arrange some flowers or paint a picture or just whatever.
All right, somebody's pet passes on. What do they do? How can they contact the animal? Should they?
I don't know that you should. I think everybody should have to make their own decision about that. I think that what you can do, though, if a person or a pet, whatever, passes, just talk to them. Talk to them like they're still there. You can make it a big deal if you want to. You can, like, kind of breathe through your nose and out your mouth until you get yourself really relaxed. And then imagine that pet or person. Imagine that if you're so strong with it, if you're open your eyes, they'd be right there in the room with you. And when you do that, just kind of talk. You know, I really miss you and this and that, or, you know, I wanted to tell you this and whatnot. And when you feel done with that, kind of breathe a little more, you know, and kind of imagine yourself back where you are. And this is one exercise that can help you actually send your thoughts and emotions, whatever, through the veil. And then after maybe that first time, you can just talk. You know, you're riding in your car, you might just feel somebody there. Talk to them. Just, you know, I miss you. I'm having a hard time. What would you think about this? And then kind of let see what pops in your mind. Kind of see what evolves. Again, if you try to make it happen, if you force it, it's not going to happen. You kind of got to let it just be easy. But so many people that have had people and or pets pass on, they report back, you know, Josh Warren, your friend, my friend and yours, or your acquaintance, my acquaintance, whatever. You know, he wrote a book about this,
yeah.
And actually he wrote a story, I'm in the book, about where I saw my little dog Wren just dart under what we call the warehouse, and I'm not looking for her, but I saw her. And there's been a couple of times since then, I think I see her, and then it'll turn out to be another pet. But I believe her energy's there, I really do, and I believe that's what I'm perceiving.
So you do believe that there is an afterlife for an animal?
I believe there is. I tell you what, I do. I believe now there's a shared spirit of the animals. Like, I believe there is a shared spirit of, for example, the eagle, the shared spirit of the snake or whatever, the buffalo, you know. But I believe when it comes to our pets, maybe animals that we've kind of helped create, you know, by breeding them to be, you know, domestic animals and whatnot, I honestly believe that they do embody spirits, and I think they're here to work out a spiritual purpose with us. Maybe they're here to teach us about having power, of having unconditional love, you know, of drawing that out of us and responsibility, and I think that they're a very important part of our work. I really do.
Tell me why you're interested in indigo children.
Well, I just noticed, you know, we were talking about earlier about how there may be more and more people like me, Lord help them all, that's coming into this planet. And I believe those are the indigo children. Now, some people say that maybe they were used to be from Atlantis or Lemur or whatever.
Lemuria.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm telling you again, it's middle of the night here, okay?
Well, you're doing
but
okay.
Anyway, I'm thinking that maybe that's true. All I can tell you is that I perceive more and more children that blow your mind. They're 7 or 8 years old, going on about 30. And I don't mean in a sophisticated way that's not so healthy, like, you know, they're learning too much too soon. I mean there's an essence to them. They know things. They see things. They're like almost, there's a naturalness about them. And I think they're here for special purpose, and we're going to see it. And some of them are going to have a hard time because, you know, like we already talked about, too, if you're like this, you're really sensitive, and being confined and doing the routine-type things, it's not too easy, you know? But I think they're here to maybe help with the healing of this planet. How? I don't know. I just think that's what they're here for.
Here's a fast blast in from someone from your neck of the woods, Rob from Arkansas, and he says, even though you're from North Carolina, that's close, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, energy vampires need love, too. I'm one in a big way. I'm a bummer because I cause and force people to think about unpleasant realities. It's my spiritual job. It's not easy. I just care about the future more than myself. All that glitters isn't gold.
You know, I'm wondering if he's truly a vampire or if he's more of just someone who is a provoker. I think
what's a provoker?
Doing exactly what he says, being in your face and saying, think about this. Come outside your comfort zone. See outside the box. So I'm thinking that maybe he doesn't suck the energy out of people so much as maybe he slams some energy into people, forcing them to look at things in a new way.
Are you ever upset? Do you ever lose your cool?
Oh, Lordy. Once in a while.
You do?
Yeah, not like I used to.
It's a waste of energy when you do it, isn't it?
No, I think sometimes it's a necessary release of energy.
So you think it's healthy?
Sometimes, yeah. I don't think there's any good come from internalizing or being a martyr, you know. I don't. But, you know, I do try very...
I guess you are human, right?
That's exactly right. And I do try to maintain balance. Now, I try very hard to work on being patient and all those things because I don't want to be a big hypocrite. I can't tell somebody else to stay balanced if I'm not. But, you know, it's hard. I mean, I have my challenges just like everybody else does.
I was looking at your website earlier, and you have what is called psychic scopes on it. Tell me about that.
All right, you may have noticed that things come in cycles, and I noticed that things come in cycles.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, it's funny, like one day I had 5 people come, right, and every one of them's named Pat. I mean, how weird is that? You know, I've been seeing a run of Pisces lately and stuff like this. So I'm thinking, you know, I keep saying the same things to people over and over and over. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm just going to write it down. So I started writing it down and just sending it out to people on the email. But Lord knows I cannot keep up with my mailing list. So I decided just to put it on there, and I'm going to change it about once a month, whenever. And I'll probably put more and more things on there, too, because that's a website that I recently designed and I'm using. And so I think I'm going to put more and more to help people kind of be prepared for the energy of that's coming up. And so far, I have to say, I'm doing pretty good with it. Because, you know, people can kind of tap into that energy. And, for example, one of the things I said, I believe I said in there, was you're going to be a little bit of accident proneness, so you need to be a little more careful than usual. And as we already discussed, I didn't listen. But, you know, I think health matters right now. It's going to be an issue. People need to be thinking about maintaining wellness, doing healthy things. I think there's going to be more sensitivity right now, a little more nervousness even, a little more focus on work-related and money matters, and a general restlessness. A lot of people's going to be wanting to be somewhere they're not. And then I think pretty soon we're going to be thinking more about relationships, not only who we want in our life, but in what capacity, what kind of people. Then I think we're going to be going into a time, maybe we're going to be doing a little insight, a little spiritual thinking, a little looking back and reflecting. And that's the way, you know, it seems to be coming up with me. And again, there's a sense of suddenness. You know, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I'm telling you again, you know, we've just got to always expect the unexpected, because I do feel there are plots and plans and all these things going on. And, you know, we've got to just always leave a little thing in your mind saying, you know, things happen sometimes kind of suddenly, but that's what we're on this planet for, to have these experiences. This is part of our reality.
Do you see an asteroid ever coming this way?
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, it's coming, and I ain't taking that back either. I'm telling you, I don't know if it's going to be 2008 or 2010, 12, but I think it's coming. Now, I don't think it has to hit us, but, you know, I feel it. I see it. I hope it's averted. I believe, I choose to believe in the positive. I choose to believe it will be averted. But I'm telling you, that's one of the little jokes I make when I see my clients. You know, I believe you're going to get married if the asteroid don't hit first, you know, but it's coming.
Well, let's hope it misses us, like you say.
I think what will happen, you know, I think most of it will burn up. And I think that, I just felt something going on in India. I'm not sure what that is, but be mindful that India may be in the news for whatever reason. And I felt Asia earlier, and I forgot what it was I was feeling. But of course, being the Middle East, naturally, there's going to be all kinds of things going on there. But this felt more like China. But right now, I'm feeling India. So expect to hear more, some news coming out of India. Now, I don't know time. I will tell you this. If I tell you something, and it takes, like it happens today, for example, if I give you a name or this, and it happens tomorrow, it may or may not be a big deal. But if I tell you something, it takes a year, it's a big deal. The longer something takes, I have noticed, the bigger deal it is, just so you know.
Okay. Okay, well, from time to time, we'll check in with you as well and take some of these predictions. You can always just tell us them, huh?
Sure.
Want to take phone calls next hour?
Great.
Don't you fall asleep on me, Angela.
You hear snoring, we're going to be in trouble.
I mean, we're going to zap you. Okay, stick with us. Our guest tonight is Angela Moore, who's definitely not used to staying up into the wee hours. Well, we've got her for one more hour, so let's open up the phone lines. If you have a psychic question or if you want to share one of your stories with us, you've heard what we've been talking about tonight, so get ready. I'm George Norrie. Another hour to go here on Coast to Coast AM.